Welcome to the Mobile Nations Podcast, bringing together the heads of state from Android, BlackBerry, iOS, WebOS, and Windows Phone.
This is Kevin from crackberry.com.
Hey, it's Phil from Android Central.
And Derek from precentral.net.
And Daniel from WP Central.
And Georgia from tippy.com.
And this is Renee, and welcome to a special break-exclusive edition of the Mobile Nations podcast. Kevin, you called this together a day early because things have been happening.
That is true. It's been probably one of the craziest weeks for mobile ever, I think. You know, starting with BlackBerry releasing new smartphones, that's a big talk of the town.
It was.
And then Google buys Motorola, and then HP says what, Derek?
We don't need to make WebOS phones.
We were crazy.
Hang on. We have Juju tablets to talk about here tonight.
Oh, Phil's right. He wins.
That's true. I'm totally pumped for the Grid 4.
Juju phone,
just
please.
Just saying Juju. It just makes everything better.
Renee, you're the maestro, though. You're going to have to keep us on track here. So lead the way, because we got a lot to talk about.
Absolutely. So we're going
to... Hang on. I want to interrupt, because we are, in fact, interrupting the official Android Central podcast tonight, which should be happening right now, and we're embedded on the site. So tens of people are listening. Where we normally have an Android Central podcast.
Tens of people. That's fab.
Yes.
That's like tens more than we get, so don't even worry about it.
Hey. Sorry, Phil's taking a beer break.
Continue.
All right. So greetings, Android Central. We're going to do something unusual. Usually we go in alphabetical order of the site just so that we can make sure everyone has their big news. But because it has been such a crazy week, we're going to kind of go in reverse chronological order. And we're going to start with Derek and the press release that stopped the world. What happened, Derek?
Well, HP came out and said that they really like jelly donuts. No, they came out with, actually started as a rumor this morning. Bloomberg reported that HP was going to be spinning off their personal systems group, which is who makes their PCs and everything, and the WebOS business global business unit is slotted in underneath that. I thought, oh, well, this will be interesting. I wonder what they're going to do with WebOS. And then HP decided to confirm that they were, in fact, considering splitting off their personal systems group, which is kind of strange since they're the number one PC maker in the world, at least by volume. And they said, oh, by the way, we're also killing WebOS hardware.
To be fair, you called this. And then you cried.
And then everybody forgot about the whole spinning off the computers division part. Went, what?
Whoa, what? But you called this like a year ago, about a year ago, to be fair, right?
About a year ago, when they brought on Leo Apotheker, the new CEO of HP.
And the man who ran SAP into the ground.
He ran SAP, which it's pure enterprise software. That's what he does.
And he didn't do it very well.
No, and yet he's the CEO of HP now. And I said, this gives me the heebie-jeebies. He's an enterprise software guy. He's not going to know how to manage WebOS. And it turns out that in the year that they've owned Palm and been releasing WebOS devices, they have failed on pretty much every single metric on which you can fail in marketing and product release and product design.
That's actually what they said in the conference call
and
today.
Marketing.
They're like, yeah, they're like, hey, we put out these benchmarks that we needed to reach, and we just didn't do it. So,
but they didn't even try.
They reached none.
Yeah.
The benchmarks that they thought they needed to reach were like sales. We needed to sell this many, get this many apps, and do this. And apparently, they didn't know how.
They need to get more than Derek to buy one.
Yeah,
we all listened to the conference call, right? Like, did everybody here listen to it?
Yes, I listened to it, and I watched Derek live blogging it, so I got the snarky context of the century.
Hey, Derek, is that touchpad you're holding up there, has that quit working yet?
It hasn't, although my phone nearly threw a conniption today. I actually had to pull the battery and reset it, which is how poetic.
I just want to, before we get Derek's, I guess, state of the WebOS address, I just want to go around the room and get everyone's quick take. So, Kevin, when you heard this, what were your immediate thoughts?
Well, we're in the middle of working on a big rebranding project for Precentral.net. And I was like, oh.
Hey, Kevin. next week.
What?
Am I going to have a job next week? I need to.
Yeah, no, don't worry about that.
Yeah,
we already,
so it's
already
had
an emergency.
Derek at AndroidCentral.com.
The good news is with the Mobile Nations concept here, Derek, you can write for whatever platform you want. You're now a cross-site personality. Take your pick.
We're stealing Tim from Precentral to WP Central.
No,
oh, it started
no.
already.
There we go.
Wait a minute. You licensed out Tim to WP Central?
He bought his phone.
I am one step ahead of HP.
All right. So, Kevin, besides that, what was your quick take? How does this fit into your view of the mobile space?
And there were four. And it's interesting because I think we've had a few conversations in the past about, you know, there's five sort of major platforms now competing in 2011, and that maybe that's a couple too many. So something was going to shake out over the next little bit.
Well, you ditched Nokia already, right? To get to five, you already ditched Nokia.
Yeah, absolutely. A while ago. And I mean, as soon as Windows Phone announcement happened with them, I mean, that happened, right? And in North America, it was never really a battle for them. So now it's kind of interesting. And in a sense, I kind of had, you know, from the BlackBerry RIM perspective, it was a little bit of a sigh of relief because, you know, we knew the ecosystem and that maybe the market wouldn't support five. So if this becomes four, it's, you know, better fighting chances. And now it's kind of a maybe the market can support four, although I kind of think it's going to be three, you know. So I don't know what happens next. It'll be interesting.
All right, Phil, you heard the press release heard around the world, and what happened?
My first reaction was to tell you guys to skin Precentral in all black.
Is it rugby season already?
If you didn't see my tweet, I joked that the waiting music on the conference call was Taps. Which should have special meaning. I mean, not to be like weird, but for Derek, I mean, Derek did that job, right? I assume.
Yeah. So, you know, Are you trying to depress me?
Little double me. No, I think you're probably. Look, I'm sad. Yeah. I'm very disappointed in HP. Probably even more so than I am in Palm. And I've been thinking a lot this afternoon about who failed. That's the big question, right? Who failed WebOS more? Was it Palm or was it HP?
Or yes.
Yes. Well, yeah, and we'll let Derek talk to that because he's the authority. But I mean, yeah, from my perspective, I think HP failed Palm because they had the money. But this has just been a cluster F from the beginning.
What does it mean for Android, though?
What does it mean for Android? We're currently activating more than 550,000 devices a day and are in the process of buying Motorola Mobility and pretty much taking over the world, and we'll feed you breakfast in the morning if you ask nicely.
And we welcome our new Android overlords.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly think at this point it probably means more for Windows Phone than it does for Android. It takes out a good, and we'll let Dan talk about this, but I think it really makes an interesting race for number three, more so than number two.
Dan, you pick up that gauntlet?
Yeah, no, actually, I agree with that. In our forums, we've noticed a lot of new people coming in have been people using WebOS, actually, and who were changing over. So I do think that we will be getting a lot of those people. I mean, it'll probably, you know, divvy up, it'll be based on people's carriers and this kind of thing, too. But it's actually an opportune time in a lot of ways for us because we're getting ready to launch Mango in a couple of weeks. We're going to have new devices coming out within a couple of weeks. So it may be a chance to actually bring those people over. And so I actually think, yeah, this is more about, you know, fighting for number three, which I would argue Windows Phone was already kind of racing there with RIM, fighting over it, but this makes it a little bit easier for us. And so I definitely see it as a good thing. I'm kind of saddened too as well because, I really liked WebOS. I thought it was a really smart operating system. And it's just kind of a shame what happened to it, but this is sort of the industry we're in. But even if it didn't, I mean, it's true. I think there can only really be three operating systems right now.
Hang on. WebOS isn't dead, right?
No, WebOS is not dead.
Because that's all the headlines. WebOS is dead. And that was the, honestly, I mean, I called Kevin. I said, WebOS is dead. WebOS is dead. You know, thank God Almighty WebOS is dead.
HP killed it just to watch it die.
But I mean, go back and read
the line.
Yeah, what was the line from the press release?
Okay, the line is they are shutting down their webOS device operations. So they're going to stop making and selling touchpads and Veers, and apparently they're just not going to sell the Pre 3 at all, which makes me really sad because I wanted
that. Or the Touchpad Go, maybe.
Yeah, Touchpad Go. I don't know if that's going to happen.
It's stopped.
I hope that I can be one day and have one of those collector's item, sort of like a folio.
Nice.
I have a set.
Right, I'm going to come back to Derek because I want to let him talk for a little while, but I'm going to just continue on very quickly. Georgia, about a year ago on iPad Live, you said that Apple was sucking all the oxygen out of the room before competitors were even getting to market. Is this what you think happened? Was that your reaction to the news?
Well, definitely coming into something that coming in so late, there's only so much space. People, you know, are probably not going to buy multiple tablets besides us. And so it doesn't leave a lot of space for other people that are bringing out tablets late. Then, you know, to put on top of it that the touchpad was, you know, kind of expensive, lowered the price. I think that one of the killer hits was when Best Buy tried to resell back the 250,000 touchpads. I think that was probably a – pardon me?
Yeah, please take them. I don't want them anymore.
Please take them back. We didn't really actually want them. I think that was probably a really strong hit. And in all irony of irony, a new version of the HP touchpad in white, 64 gigabytes, is destined for Europe today. Woohoo!
So, and actually, I forget who it was, but someone joked on Twitter that Best Buy stock is going to go up tomorrow. But that's the kind of, I mean, HP let this on. My first reaction was anger. I was so angry at HP. I mean, they let the touchpad on the market about as long as Fox let a good Joss Whedon show last on their network. It was it was not given a chance. HP has money. They have scale. They claimed they would use both, and then they chickened out. They flinched before the punch had left the opponent.
Hang on.
The touchpad itself, though. Like, you can't say the touchpad was, like, I you know, WebOS, pretty much everyone says was pretty sweet, but, you know, the touchpad itself was,
They shouldn't let Envy make it.
No. You say it wasn't given a chance. It was put out to the wind. They didn't do a damn thing with it other than, like, oh, here's this thing we made. Go do something with it. I mean, look at what has HP done in Derek, a year? And I was on the podcast with Derek when Palm bought HP. I'm not sure why, but I was there. And, I mean, it's been a year. And what have they done? They made a touchpad, and that was it.
Yeah,
it's been a year. Yeah, they released it,
totally.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's say,
which was a palm.
Let's say even if they did, you know, spend a lot of time advertising, like, the reviews of the touchpad in itself, lukewarm.
So why didn't they wait and put out a great, like, or not wait, but why didn't they put the full force of HP behind this and make fantastic... I know it's easy to say, make fantastic hardware with finished software.
They thought they did.
I don't think they did. I think that they were so busy buying Vertica that they and getting their SAP software guru installed that they decided not to give a damn about hardware anymore.
Yeah, apparently they don't care about hardware. The only hardware they care about anymore are printers. So HP is turning into SAP with a printer division, which could work out for them. I think they do pretty well with printers. I'm not going to buy an HP printer anytime soon.
Well, we've already seen a WebOS printer, right?
I'm turning my laptop here to face my colored laser, which cost me like $1,500. So
yeah, I have an HP printer sitting on my shelf right now. I've had it for 7 years and it's still a truck. But when the time comes that it finally breaks down or I get tired of having to scrounge up ink packs somewhere, I'm gonna go for a Canon or an Epson.
So Phil,
just out of spite.
Yeah,
I do. That is out of spite.
I'm never buying HP again. I'm done. I'm never ever buying HP again. I'm going to wait for we'll let Derek get to this, but I'm going to wait for an Amazon or a Facebook or an HTC or a Samsung WebOS device. Damn it. So Phil mentioned that WebOS isn't dead, Derek. Can you give us sort of a state of the WebOS here?
WebOS, let's see. We've been through about 7 near-death experiences through Palm and WebOS now. And right now, we're deciding whether this is a near-death experience or actually the end. So HP came out, they said that they're done making WebOS hardware. They're going to shut down their WebOS device operations by the end of Q4. They didn't say Q4 fiscal or Q4 calendar. either way, that's fairly soon. They're expecting it cost them $300 to $400 million, which if they're considering that to be big change, I'm wondering, how much did you actually spend on working on WebOS?
Well, I mean, Android just spent $12 billion on Motorola. I'm sure, you know, HP could have invested a little bit in hardware.
They spent $1.2 billion on Palm itself. How much did you? This touchpad did not require that much engineering on HP's part. They had to buy an iPad, take it apart, and figure out how to put it together again with a plastic case.
Those are going to be collectors soon, though. Think of it that way.
I have a collector's item. Unfortunately, I took it out of its packaging.
Oh, no. You should have gotten it white.
I know.
Those will be gone soon.
I might still do that. I'm considering getting a pre-3 and a white touchpad so I can review them and go in your face. But HP's reasoning for this, you know, the touchpad has been out for 6-7 weeks now. And CFO Kathy Lesjak said that to make the investment a financial success, the investment being WebOS, would require significant investments over the next 1 to 2 years, creating risk without clear returns. Therefore, we have decided to shut down operations around WebOS devices, and we'll be exploring strategic alternatives to optimize the value of the software platform and development capability. In other words, we don't have the balls to tough this out and see if we can do it.
Yeah.
So
it didn't even sound like they knew what the hell they were talking about. It's like,
I know. You bought a company. Did you expect that you could just make it and they would come? They tried it. It didn't work.
They shall come. Yeah, no, it seems like they thought that, you know, they should have thought of this before they actually made the device.
They pushed it down the hill and clamped their hands to their face in shock and horror.
Something called advertising.
What? Advertising? What is this mythical unicorn your marketing you're talking about?
And also, I mean, they never really – everyone kept saying that when HP bought WebOS, at least it would finally get good hardware, which anyone who ever owned an HP printer knew was false. But they didn't even try. Like I said, they didn't throw Envy at it. They didn't do anything to make this succeed.
Now, really, the Veer is a great little phone. It's very solidly built. I need to – use mine more, although I'm wondering if I have any reason anymore. The pre-3, I had a pre-production unit, and apparently it's never going to get released, so I'm going to talk about it, even though I really wasn't supposed to. I loved it. It was great. It was very well built. The software was still a little rough because it was pre-production, but hardware, it was fantastic. It was almost BlackBerry quality hardware.
Nice. I'm going to send you this ACC Merge on Verizon, and you're going to take pictures of it with the pre-3.
Oh, a mythical phone battle. I'll get a Sprint iPhone and we'll shoot it out.
Yes.
So, Derek, what's going to happen to people that already have, you know, a touchpad?
That's a great question.
I've been wondering about that myself.
You just bought it today?
Return it. Yeah, you just bought it today. I'm sorry. I hope that you have a return policy wherever you
bought it. I hope you didn't take it out. Don't take it out of the package.
But no, but it's still a work. It's
still a working tablet. Yes. But it's a working tablet. It works great. Is it going to have the developer support to make it a good platform?
I would like to refer you.
Right now, it's not there.
I want to refer you to the tweets that I am now looking on the monitor that you cannot see above me here from WebOS internals. And for those of you not on the WebOS world who don't know this, these guys are badass, right? This is like the XDA.
They are XDA, but awesome.
They're like the iPhone dev team.
So first order of business, a patch to disable remote wiping and remote profile reset of WebOS devices by the profile server. So Derek, explain the profile thing. So WebOS phones.
Okay, so
it's almost like the BlackBerry 10, right?
Kind of. You have your WebOS profile, which they store, you know, some information for that on their servers. And essentially, I can, if I lose my pre, I get a new one. Yeah, we'll see if that ever happens. I get a new one. I log in with my WebOS account information, formerly known as my Palm profile, and it automatically starts downloading all of my apps. It has all the information so I can just enter my passwords and log into my Gmail account, my work account, my Exchange, and all of that stuff. And it even starts downloading things like my memos and my tasks and whatnot. So I can pick up right where I left off for the most part. It's not like quite like the iCloud doesn't store photos and music and movies and all that other stuff on my phone. And I could do the same thing with the touchpad. In fact, I could actually use the same account on my touchpad and log in and it would sync all that stuff down and I'd be good to go. But they do have the ability, say, if you lose your phone, you can go onto your profile page and remotely wipe it. So we want to make sure HP doesn't do that to us.
Here's a dumb question. Yes. You just reminded me of this. And actually, I'm going to ask this to Dan. You think that if HP had spent crazy money like Microsoft did, basically buying a Learjet for every developer, they would have a bigger platform and it wouldn't have come to this?
Yeah, I mean,
yes!
that's Microsoft's, secret, right? I mean, well, Microsoft has a lot of secrets. One of them is that they just generally have had good developer relations in the past. So they already had that existing network and leverage with other companies. And, yeah, they did spend a lot of money and move a lot of people to come over. Some would still say, though, Microsoft is doing a poor job at marketing, same compared with HP. And I think there's some validity to that, although we'll see this fall what happens. But, yeah, Microsoft, they're stubborn. They're the Xbox, when that first came out, everybody laughed at it, saying, how could you compete against Sony and Nintendo, who own that market? And they lost something like $5 or $6 billion over the next couple of years before. And it took them, 6 years to turn a profit. I mean, it goes to show you, you have to have a lot of gusto to be able to lose that much money in a division. But, it worked out for them. Now they're number one. And they're going to do the same thing with Windows Phone. That's why I'm not concerned at all when, the numbers come out, we're only 2% or 7%. Microsoft is just going to keep throwing money at this, and as well they should. It's a good phone and an operating system. They should be proud to stand behind it.
You make You make a good point, though, Dan, because Google has AdBucks, Apple had Mac sales, HP had their other businesses. RIM has no other business upon which to kind of help
BlackBerry.
Yeah, so they're kind of the only one still on their own, Kevin.
Yeah, it's true. They're still shooting the moon, right? And it's a little bit of a hiccup. But, arguably they have two product lines now because they do have the BlackBerry OS phones, which sell. And then they have the Playbook, which is not selling. But
still finding its market.
Still finding its market. But all of these companies... I mean, all of these companies...
Best Buy has not returned those.
No, that's true. But I find we're just in a marketplace right now where none of these companies want to compete head to head with a company like Apple if they can't do it successfully. And that's why you saw today's announcement with HP and WebOS. That's why you're going to see companies like Dell kill making phones. Have they announced it yet? Because that'll be your news right away, Dan. And the Dell streak will be dead. They're going to get out of that business because they can't win at it. Guaranteed. Put money on it.
They've already gotten out of it. Yeah. I mean,
okay, they got
a non-starter. Yeah.
And you're going to see more and more of that sort of scaling back where you can't compete to fight for another day, like you said, Renee, right? So companies will rely on what they have. RIM doesn't have the luxury, but I actually think the new BlackBerry 7 smartphones are going to buy them enough time to at least get to the, execute on the vision they have right now. But with Google, Google buying Motorola now, I would say the one company who I thought might buy RIM if they couldn't turn it around is that's probably doesn't exist anymore as an option. So I think more than ever, RIM's in their own, their fate is in their hands.
You think Google's saying, if we'd only waited 2 more days, we could have had Palm for $1.50.
No.
They might still pick it up. HP paid $1.2 billion. HP paid $1.2 billion for Palm. And I think, there are pretty much three options for HP right now. License out WebOS, and anybody who licenses WebOS from HP is stupid. You could buy WebOS. You could buy WebOS and Palm's patents. That would be great because then it's yours. HP doesn't know what to do with WebOS.
And Palm has a patent for the smartphone, which is why everybody is suing everybody, but no one's even looking at Palm.
Look, after today's announcement, I guarantee every HP/Palm employee who works on WebOS is sitting at home right now on their computer browsing for jobs because nobody's going to be stupid enough who has a brain to sit around that company to get axed in the next 3 to 6 months. Right. Everybody's gone. I will say right now, there's no hope. Today,
and a lot of them left when HP bought them already.
Yeah. Today's meeting afterwards with the union or the company saying, or the town hall, whatever it's called, going through, okay, we're going to, WebOS isn't dead. That's just lip service to justify jobs over the next few months while they lay everybody off from that division.
Yeah, and we've heard this before.
So you think that no one's going to buy WebOS?
No, I think somebody could buy WebOS. I think there's a possibility. I didn't see anybody buying. I didn't really think anybody was going to buy WebOS or buy Palm And then HP came out of nowhere and bought them, even though I guess I sort of predicted that. But I think that after this whole Google Motorola deal and Microsoft hooking up with Nokia, there is a possibility that somebody could go, there's potential there, and they can pick it up for awfully cheap.
But you're talking two totally different things. I mean, buying Palm is one thing because you're buying hardware and software. Buying WebOS is an entirely different thing. Why would you buy, you know, why would you buy an OS that nobody stands behind anymore?
Okay, I can think of one reason why RIM would buy them right now. And it's not actually for the UI, because I think at the platform level, QNX is a lot more powerful base than what WebOS has more on the UI level on top. However, one thing RIM needs, if they want to be around, is a Silicon Valley presence.
Yes.
And they don't have it. And the cost to build a company out there and hire new people, it might be cheaper for them to buy dirt cheap, just to, even if they don't use it, just to say, hey, we're in the Valley now. We're right, not so just in.
Just to transition, let's go around and kind of, where does WebOS go from here? Get everyone's take. Who ends up with WebOS and what ends up with WebOS? Kevin, you're saying RIM buys them.
Well, I don't think they have a reason to, other than for Silicon Valley presence. Okay. But maybe.
Phil?
Hang on, I'm looking to see what I got in my wallet.
That's American money, dude. That doesn't go.
Sir, Phil buys WebOS.
Phil Blur lives.
How
many packets are along with...
All right, so seriously, Phil.
I got three packets of sugar in one button.
Phil,
I don't know that you buy a WebOS without the hardware, because
no one wants the hardware.
For better or for worse, what made Palm and what made the Palm OS so interesting was the marriage of the software and the hardware. What made WebOS so interesting was the marriage of the software and the hardware.
HTC made a lot of hardware for Palm in the day.
Yeah, I tell you what I kept thinking about today, and I started off with this, was who screwed up more? Was it Palm or was it HP? Who burned, you know, the platform more? And we're talking two different platforms, and I understand that. I'm not sure who screwed up more, because they've been, I mean, like I said, I was on this call, a year ago with Derek when HP bought Palm, and it hasn't gotten any better. Like, what do you have to do to not screw this up? It can't be that hard.
HP screwed up.
Yeah.
HP, Palm tried. They may have screwed up while they were trying, but at least they friggin' tried.
Hey, something we haven't talked about is what Rubenstein's going to be doing now.
He's already left.
He's going to retire.
Yeah,
he's got Apple books.
Yeah, he's been. He was. You know, he left the, or was moved from the WebOS Global Business Unit to being their VP of Innovation in the Personal Systems Group, so they can better leverage his talents.
I thought it was a personal systems group.
I would say, screw you, I'm retiring.
Can MacDemy buy it back? Is that a possibility?
No, that's called a working retirement, Derek.
He's going to go back to the same beach in Mexico that they pulled him from.
Yeah.
And
he could go back there.
I'm moving us along. Phil, straight answer. No one's going to buy it, or is someone going to make a play for WebOS?
No, nobody's going to buy it. Unless they have the option to license it out for free, which I think could be an interesting slight to Google, then no. I mean, why would you buy another OS that you have to license out, that you have to wait for somebody to buy, when you have it a relatively free open source OS out there now?
All right, so I'm going to skip Derek. He gets last word. I'm going to go to Dan. What ends up with WebOS, Dan?
WebOS dies. It doesn't go anywhere, and maybe HP can recoup some costs by selling off a patents, which will involve Google, Microsoft, and Apple fighting for all those patents. And we can have another podcast on that.
Anarchy now. Georgia, what ends up with WebOS?
I think it's going to die a slow, uneventful, painless, sad death, really.
Ouch.
Have you not seen Derek? Look up. Have you not seen Derek over there?
I'm sorry, Derek. I'm sorry.
All right, Derek, you can retort.
Yeah.
Samsung.
Nice.
I'm putting my $5 on Samsung.
Okay.
Because, you know, right now there are four major Android manufacturers, right? HTC, LG, Samsung, and Motorola. Motorola's already bought up by Google. They had nothing to worry about. LG, Samsung, and HTC are also all Windows Phone licensees. All three of them, I guarantee, are concerned about HTC, or about Motorola and Google, and Nokia and Microsoft. They don't have that special relationship that these two companies have, and that's not the position you want to be in. I think that, you know, Samsung has actually tried before with their ONS. They've got Bata, and it's not good because they tried to start from scratch and had no experience with building an operating system. And they're involved in all of this lawsuits with everybody.
Yeah.
I think picking up the WebOS Global Business Unit, they've already got hardware, and they have all the hardware components they could possibly need.
And
I think
they
can pick up WebOS and all of Palm's patents for $800 million.
So one of our Android social writers just put on Google Plus, so who wants to make a Kickstarter to buy WebOS?
Would anyone want to buy it for the patents alone?
Like I said, they have the patent to the smartphone. So I think actually this would have been a much better, cheaper buy for Google than Motorola. Although unless Google really didn't.
They could have bought it for dirt cheap.
I'm going to go with Derek.
Buy it for 63% of the shares. So.
I'm going to bet all the money in my pockets against all the money in Phil's pockets and the Georgia, whatever buttons she had in her pockets and sugar packets, that it's going to be a Facebook or an Amazon type company that ends up buying it because they're not going to want to have just Android as a differentiator.
Really?
There we go. Yeah.
And I think Amazon is too far along with their Android push.
How many patents would that even be? Like, really, is it even mentionable?
It's not the amount. It's the quality of Palm's patents that's devastating. Yes. I mean, no one has said word one. Apple has not gone anywhere near Palm, and they're suing the bejesus out of Motorola. So, I mean, Palm is a nuclear force in the patents. No one said anything about RIM either, right, Kevin? I mean, no one's gone after them in all this.
No, it's true.
So I was going to transition to Phil, but he got so angry with Georgia that he actually stormed off the show. So
I'm sorry, Phil. I apologize.
I'm going to go to Kevin first for a reaction on this. Kevin, you did an awesome blog post, and we talked about it on a previous show about why Google might want to be interested in buying RIM. And now Google has spurned your advice and gone ahead and bought Motorola.
Yeah, it's funny. We're at least sort of 50% there, I guess, in the thinking. You know, we had Google buying somebody, just not the right company. You know, I think Google's. Whoa, everybody's still there?
Yep,
I'm here.
Yeah, I heard a Skype hang up noise.
But everybody's still here.
Hey, Phil, you're back. Welcome back.
We're talking about you now.
Cool. Yeah. No, sorry, I got kids going to bed.
So we're talking.
Is that what you're talking about?
We're talking about Motorola and Google, and Kevin is just explaining why they spurned BlackBerry and went for Motorola instead.
No, I think Phil should talk to it actually first.
I think they saw Kevin's editorial and just said, hell no, that's never going to happen. Who else can we buy? And Motorola was out there. No, I'm back and forth on this. And actually, one of my favorite analyses, and then, to be honest, I haven't had that much time to like stop and think this week. But I think one of the better analyses of this has been from M.G. Siegler and John Gruber. And, you know, and generally these are guys who I think will be a little blowhardy, but you know, they're not dumb people by any stretch of the imagination. But go back and read what they've written. And I think it was almost a desperation move by Google. Does that mean it's a bad one? I mean, does that mean, you know, an act of desperation is necessarily the wrong act? I'm not sure. I don't think so. So let's back up. So $40 a share, $12.5 million purchase of Motorola Mobility. You say mobility because Motorola split in two a couple of years ago. You have Solutions, which is a bunch of other stuff. And you have Mobility, which is basically everything they make hardware-wise. Phones, tablets, and also, and this is the interesting part, cable boxes. It's something that Google has toyed around with for the past year has been Google TV, which hasn't really done anything. And even less so than Apple TV, which is admittedly from Apple a hobby. Renee and I talked about this on Monday some. And so now they own cable boxes. And I've always said that if Google TV really wants to take off, they need to get it built into cable boxes. So that's a real possibility now, I think. It's still, you know, probably a year or two away at least, right? This isn't going to be something that's done overnight. But that's floating around out there as well. So Google has said, hey, we bought Motorola Mobility, but they're going to act as a separate company. We're not really going to interfere in the whole hardware thing. They're still going to make phones, blah, 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 blah. This is really about, quote, defending Android, defending our property or whatever. I understand that. If you haven't read Neil Patel's take on patents this week, I think you need to, or last week's, I guess. The whole patent thing's out of control. It's ridiculous. The fact that we're playing this game of mutually assured destruction with patents needs to stop. It's hampering innovation. It's taking up my time, which is to me more important than innovation. it's just a big mess. If buying Motorola needs to be what gets it done for the next 2 or 3 years, so be it. We had a good talk on Monday. Renee, you were there. Jerry Hildenbrand from Android Central, I think, has it right. I think Google's going to do this, and at some point they might spin off what they just bought, as in the hardware, maybe. I don't even know if they can do it. Maybe there's a clause that says they can. I don't know.
Can I, Phil, disagree with you and Mr. Gruber and Siegler?
I've never stopped you before.
And I want to get everyone's reaction to this as well, but I wrote a quick editorial today based on a thought that occurred to me while I was commuting, and admittedly, that's dangerous. But I kind of don't believe... I believe this patent thing is a canard. I believe there were much smarter, cheaper plays Google could have made for patents. What I think it came down to in the end is just in keeping with Google's business, which you've always said is about eyeballs, and in keeping with the history of Android, which is about self-determination, I think that Google bought a $12.5 billion insurance policy. They made Android originally to stop Microsoft Windows Mobile Standard and BlackBerry from cutting them off from the mobile web. When iPhone came around, they made an iPhone-like platform with a better browser so Apple couldn't one day pull a Bing deal and cut them off from the web. Then they started facing forks and, you know, angry manufacturers, lawsuits from Skyhook. They made this fabulous Android platform they invested billions of dollars in and people could take away from them. And now, no matter what happens, they have a Motorola card in their back pocket. If everything goes to hell, if Verizon forks the OS, if Amazon forks it, if HTC goes all in on Windows Phone, if Samsung buys WebOS instead, they have a hardware arm that will always be there for Android, and they can serve their ads to that in infinitum.
Yes.
There we go.
I think everybody's right. I'm not sure if this is a knee-jerk reaction. I don't think you do a $12 billion deal as a knee-jerk reaction, but maybe you do. But at the same time, if you go back and look at how much cash Google has, it's not nearly as much as Apple does. So I think Siegler did the math, and it's something like this is a year's worth of profits.
A year and a half worth
of profits for Google. It's not insignificant. I'm not sure you spend a year and a half worth of profit, you know, in like a week's decision. And
so let's go around.
Yeah, but even if the deal doesn't get approved by the antitrust, they pay them $2.5 billion.
Twice as much as Palm.
Okay, well, back up, because first off, a lot of people are acting like in-out clause is a new thing, and it's not. Any sort of deal like this, if it doesn't go through, the company who initiated the sale has to pay the other company. That's not new.
Yeah, but
what's
not
new
20%.
Here,
20%
right.
of the purchase price. That's crazy.
Right.
If I'd be Motorola, I'd be like, hey, guys, you know that antitrust stuff? Just, you know, forget about it.
Exactly. No, and that's the difference here. I'm not saying it's not a big deal, but I'm saying it needs to be taken in context. The out clause is certainly higher than it would normally be in a deal, so everybody's saying. And maybe that's just the way Google does business. I haven't known Google to...
that's how they roll, yo.
Look, I've only been, you know, doing this Google thing for a year and a half now. They don't do anything small, let me tell you that.
All right, so let me just quickly go around. Derek, what was your reaction to Moto Google or Google Rolla, whatever you want to call it?
Patent is the short-term play. Getting control over Android and being able to make the phones that they wanted people to make is the long-term play. I really think this whole Motorola is going to operate as an independent company thing. It's going to be true for about a year and a half. and then they will start putting out not necessarily Google-branded phones, but they're going to be the phones that Google wants to have made. Because they've expressed this with Honeycomb and the fact that they don't want it modified too much, or they want to approve your modifications first. They want to be able to have that pure Google experience. And sure, the Nexus program will continue on with the Nexus Prime or the Nexus Q or whatever comes next.
Like it was,
but then it's going to be Motorola.
Yeah.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Phil, was the Zoom technically a Nexus for tablets? Was that the developer / hero device for Honeycomb?
No. There are two trains of thought on that. I forget who wrote the piece for This Is My Next, but they consider that to be a Nexus tablet. We didn't really consider it to be a Nexus tablet. I mean, it was a design reference. It was like a reference design platform. It was a dev tablet. It didn't have the Nexus name behind it, and it just kind of always had a different feel. I want to think back, what was the last conference we went to? CTIA, so that's been a long time. But if you ask developers now, like what they're using, they're not using Zooms anymore. They all went out and bought Galaxy Tab 10.1s. I talked to a SwiftKey about this. I was like, I mean, and I was there with them in February at the Google campus when everybody had Zooms, and that's what all the developers they were showing up Honeycomb had. But now, I mean, like, that's not the cool tablet anymore. Now, the internals haven't changed that much, but the outside has.
So Motorola hasn't had an official Nexus device yet?
No. I wouldn't call the Zoom an official Nexus device. Now, that said, we know quad-core tablets are coming later this year. I've seen them. I've seen a quad core tablet. It was a, design chassis, but it was quad core. And NVIDIA told us a couple of weeks ago that they're coming. I think it was in the fourth quarter. No, it was by CES, sometime around CES in the holidays. We're going to see quad core tablets. So, are we going to see a Nexus tablet? That's a different question. It's a good question, and we might well, because remember, Ice Cream Sandwich, the next big version of Android, is going to bring the tablet and smartphone UIs back together. So we might well see a double smartphone tablet Nexus line released at the same time. And the rumor right now, this is a rumor we've been saying for a long time now, is October, which for a while seemed early to me, but other, BGR has gotten other tips as well since then that seem to confirm what we've been saying all this time.
Dan, does this move by Google drive people who license both Android and Windows Phone, like LG, like HTC, does it make them hedge more with Windows Phone now?
Possibly. I'm very excited about this decision. I thought this is great news for Microsoft. And between this and WebOS, I think we're doing really well because, we lost now WebOS, and now with Android, we were able to get basically our competitor drop $12.5 billion on a mediocre hardware company for patents we're already suing them over and looking
mediocre.
And you got Nokia.
And we have Nokia. So, I'm feeling pretty good about all this. I mean, it's like, okay, Google now owns those patents, but we're already suing Motorola for those patents, and we're probably going to win on that area, too. And if we do win, we could actually halt sales of Android Motorola devices into the U.S.
Way ahead of you, Dan.
And so, I'm kind of feeling good about this. And if it all fails, Motorola still gets $2.5 billion. I mean, it's good. Yeah, we have Nokia devices coming out. I'll take a Nokia phone any day. And, then there's a question, Samsung, HTC, they all paid lip service about, we're happy Google's going to be defending, Android and all that. But, come on, that was pretty, what else were they going to say, right? But I think behind the scenes, they should be a little bit more worried. Android competition is very cutthroat. These companies are probably investing a lot of resources into customizing the operating system and trying to differentiate themselves in the marketplace. And Windows Phone, they don't need to do that as much, right? They can't modify the OS. They could just toy with the hardware. And so the cost is probably a little bit lower, although once you take into effect the licensing fees, But I think eventually this will play better for Windows Phone and Microsoft, sure. I see Samsung and all them possibly getting a little more cozy with Microsoft. So.
What about Apple, Georgia? Does Larry Page want to be Steve Jobs? Does Google secretly, in their darkest hearts, want to have the integrated software-hardware model?
Yes.
Did I lose
Georgia?
That's
why they bought Motorola.
No, I sounded very guy-like there. It shocked me for a second. I went, wow, that was exactly what I was thinking. No, yeah, I do believe it, Apple definitely has a model that works, and so they're the big boys on the field. So Google buying out, weaponizing so that they can play with Apple and deal with the all the patent litigation and don't have to be left behind, it works.
What's a good?
So we'll see what happens. Amazon Cloud versus Apple Cloud versus, it's just, I don't know. I think it's going to make the gameplay much more interesting.
You're making
for
popcorn.
All the devices.
That's what you're basically saying. You're getting the popcorn ready and wanting for a.
All of them, as the big three kind of settle and all of the smaller companies get bought out, we're going to have to see what ends up coming to the light. Really, Google spending this much money on Motorola seems a little bit far-fetched, but at least it lets them play the game so that they don't get stuck in a whole bunch of lawsuits going nowhere.
Let me ask Phil this, because Georgia raises an interesting point. Android is phenomenally successful in in the area of market share and device activations. But we saw that Apple is still making 66% of the mobile profits. Do you, and Google's rumored to make, you know, $6 a phone, maybe in advertising. Do you think Google wants their share of those hardware-driven profits?
I think you're talking two different things. I think companies set what margin they want to have on a product, and this, be it a smartphone or be it a toilet plunger, right? There's a margin there somewhere, and the company says, all right, this is what we want the margin to be. This is what it's going to be. What do we have to do to make it? Because that's what they tell their shareholders, right?
Yeah.
Here's the money we're going to make on this, or in a company's case, here's the money we expect to make this quarter. What do we have to do to meet that? You know, Apple has always set really lofty Apple has always set low expectations and then beat them. But, you know, it's Apple. You know they're going to have a high margin of the product. You know,
but Google has shareholders to please too, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's all about expectations.
So you get the last word on this.
Well,
sorry,
okay.
Go ahead.
No, it's all about expectations. But in the end, if people don't like your product line, no matter what, they're not going to buy it. Like, I'm you know, the poor touchpad. I'm sorry, Derek. But
yeah, it's fine. It's the truth.
You know, like in the end, people are going to try it. They're going to put it up to the competition. And, you know, the touchpad just didn't, like, it was the same price. So, you know, if you're not going to get it on being cheaper, it has to be better.
They put it
or at least let people think it's
better. The touchpad, you're saying.
Google didn't kill the touchpad.
Look, Jerry Hildenbrand's lurking in the chat room, and I saw him up there saying Google makes plenty of money off Apple, and they're right. I mean, Google.
That's true.
I stress this to my writers. When in doubt, you know, if you're trying to figure out what Google's doing, it's to get eyeballs on search. Period.
Right.
That's what Google does. Google's making plenty of money off Apple. Are they making as much as they want? I don't know. I don't know what their expectations are. But all I do know is I haven't listened to a Google conference call that didn't use the word billions over and over and over. Might not be as much as Apple, but nobody's margin is as high as Apple.
Every company,
Apple does an incredible job.
Wait. Everybody on the line and also in the live chat, when's the last time you've clicked on a Google AdSense ad? Because I know
it's
I haven't.
It's not about clicking it.
You don't have to click it.
No. It's not about clicking it. It's about being there in the first place.
That's,
you know this.
Is that why?
For just views.
Yeah.
Is that why HP bought, you know, autonomy? they're just going to branch out and go after Google.
That's a good point, though, Phil.
This is why Google is so, I don't want to say they're concerned right now about Bing, but where Bing could actually pose a threat to Google and their resources. And that's why we saw a couple months back that spat between Microsoft and Google over the search engine. And the algorithms and that. You know, Bing is slowly creeping up on Google. It's still got a long way to go before it's actually a threat to their revenue. But, you know, Microsoft's pretty smart in that area too and seems to be throwing a lot of resources behind that.
Yeah, this was a pretty – on that topic, this was pretty funny with our new BlackBerry 7 smartphones this week. So now instead of Google being the default search engine on BlackBerry 7, Bing is. And, you know, I got a 9900 for Miss Crackberry, for Erica. And, you know, she's like, what the hell did Rim do to the web browser? I'm searching and the results page is all funny. They messed it all up. And I look and it's Bing results coming back. And she's like, what the hell is Bing? So we changed it back to Google and life was good. But
Dan, your advertising sucks.
She actually blamed BlackBerry for wrecking the web browser when what she was talking about was, you know, the Google results being from Bing.
But you know that, Kevin, for an end user, the interface is the application.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty funny, though.
A lot of companies are starting to fear Google a little bit, that they're getting a little too big, a little too powerful. And so, you know, using Bing on your phones or your default browser is a way to sort of counterbalance that. So people, you know, I think, you know, Google's an extremely powerful company. And going around dropping $12.5 billion on a hardware company, whether they were forced to or was their own, you know, volition, regardless, that's a lot of money, and it says, you know, it's a big, powerful company here. So you're going to start to see, and that's why you're hearing all this antitrust stuff now, and they're being investigated. It might not be
Dan's loving
there,
it.
But huh?
You're loving it, Dan.
Well, no, I'm just saying, though, but this, Microsoft went through the same thing, right, 15 years ago, 10 years ago. So it's the same process. A company gets too big, and then everybody starts getting a little worried about it, and that's what's starting to happen with Google right now.
Before I transition to Kevin and the new BlackBerries, I just want to mention this to Phil and get his take on it. As big as Google is, as big as their profits are, their results, they still get a little bit hammered by investors because they're considered to have one revenue stream. They haven't really successfully gotten anything monetized besides ads. And then, you know, Microsoft used to get that for Office and for Windows. And Apple, you know, Apple eventually did the iPod, then they eventually split out into iOS. Do you think this could be Google trying to start setting up other revenue streams and other types of business?
No reason why they can't toe the water. I'm trying to think back to the earnings call because, you know, display advertising is obviously the big thing. I'm trying to think of the other
mobile
streams.
YouTube.
And they break it down a little bit, but not grossly so. And YouTube makes money, I think. A lot of what you hear them talk about is the sales of property, actually, which is odd sometimes. it's business. Everybody treats this like it's some strange thing they've never heard of before. But advertising is advertising. The medium has changed, but the premise remains the same. It's all about getting eyeballs on it. And online advertising still doesn't make, you know, as much. My old business newspaper is not nearly as much as print does, but that's very, very quickly changing.
It's okay. I can't see most ads. I don't have Flash.
That's ironic for anyone who listened to iPad Live when Georgia beat the stuffing out of Seth Clifford and I about saying she was going to throw her iPad across the room for not supporting Flash. So, but I'm just going to note that for the record, Your Honor.
I can't wait till we get around to doing a proper tablet run, Robin, because things are getting really interesting. I don't have it sitting next to me here, but I just got a 7-inch honeycomb tablet, and it's making me rethink things all over again.
All right, so I'm going to move along to Kevin because he's been so patient. It was going to be the big podcast about the new Blackberries all week. We're looking forward to the big – and, you know, HP and Google totally screwed him over. So, Kevin, the floor is yours. Sir, how do you like your new berries?
I like them a lot. I'm obviously ecstatic about the new BlackBerry Bold 9900 because I am a physical keyboard kind of guy. And it's pretty close to my dream BlackBerry I've wanted since I first got a BlackBerry. You know, it's beautiful hardware. I would venture to say, Renee, if you actually picked this up, you wouldn't quite say it's almost as if Apple built a full physical QWERTY, but you can see RIM's hardware is much improved. You know, they went with the stainless steel. Yeah, stainless steel band. They put premium materials into it. They didn't cheap out on the overall hardware at all. And
can we see the side of it?
Yeah. Let's see. I'll hold it up here. You got your... Wait for the leg in the video.
She wants to say that it looks like an iPhone 4 from the side, Kevin. Don't let her trick you.
Don't fall for it, Kevin.
It's okay because it's actually my watch that inspired the design. Because I had a briefing back in May from the head of industrial design for RIM. And they went through their inspiration board. And it was really creepy because they said, well, when we started building this product, we thought about... You know, first we picked the product family, the Bold line, and that instills certain things like that's our premium line, so it's high quality. And then we pick the person it's for, and they're like, in this case, it's a male in his 30s, likes quality things. Here's some of the other products they own, and there's like a picture of my watch on the thing and a picture of my car on the board. And then there's a picture of the pair of boots I was pretty much wearing from like the season before. And I'm like, wow, they've been stalking me. And they
oh, my
phone
goodness.
So are you pretty much saying, Kevin, that this is Kevin in a phone?
Yes.
This is pretty much Kevin in a phone. And sometimes I stare at it. Like I'm working, typing a blog post out on the computer, and then I see the phone. I just look at it. I'm like.
Just catch it out of the corner of your eye and just kind of look at it.
Talk about skeuomorphism.
You see, now I'm never going to be able to.
So this is my phone. And I love it. Now, they released some other ones, too. They did a new full touch screen, the BlackBerry Torch 9850, 9860. We don't really get, you know, why they – I mean, this is the previous Storm type of phone. But I guess the Storm had a really tarnished brand, so they've gone with the Torch name with it. Not bad, but, you know, it's not the same level of quality of the hardware compared to the 9900.
HTC would have called it the Torch and the Torch Pro.
Something like that. But new phones, much improved hardware specs. So we have 1.2 gigahertz processors now, which might not be industry leading for what's out there. But on the BlackBerry OS, it makes a huge difference. It's, you know, a shot of steroids into the platform. So it's really the best of the traditional BlackBerry OS, right? Which is coming to an end. But it's the kind of thing, if you've ever used a BlackBerry, liked aspects of it, but were kind of annoyed by things like battery pulls and random slowdowns and, you know, the screen being too low res and no HD video recording. They've really addressed all that. And it's been an exciting week for me because I've actually seen a lot of emails, tweets. I've gotten phone calls on it.
in our forums where people who switched from BlackBerry to iPhone to Android, they're actually picking up these new devices to come back to BlackBerry and give it a go.
Matt Miller and, really liked them too.
Matt Miller likes
it. It does look beautiful.
It's a really beautiful phone. Considering the OS is still lagging in a lot of areas compared to the competition, mainly, you know, the app catalog and sort of the intense media front, intense gaming front on the traditional BlackBerry OS, I think people are saying, well, you know, there's things I liked about BlackBerry, and you know, I liked the capabilities, but I didn't like the execution, right? It was never as smooth a user experience as it should have been. And I think this is enough to give people to give it another try, which hopefully means RIM will make some money to get through their transition. And honestly, they're moving the devices. Like I've been back to Rogers stores. I've been back to Future Shops. I've been checking in the States, and everybody who's got them, they're selling them. So it's a bit more than HP did.
I want to know if you're using the touchscreen on the Bold though, Kevin, or do you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's funny because
screen bother you?
You know what? If they could, it doesn't bother me. I would say though, where I would love the screen on this one, like on the Bold, if they could make it 20% higher, 25% higher, then things like pinch to zoom in the web browser would be that much better. Whereas right now you got to be a little careful.
Like a dual control, maybe.
You don't play games though on your phone.
No, but this is okay. When you have a keyboard, you're basically saying this is a communication tool first. That's my priority. And
that's a
then
what?
You own it.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
My priority
communication tool?
Communication. Oh. Yeah. And then my killing apps, my killing time for apps and stuff, that's on my playbook or my iPad, right? It's the mobile hierarchy of needs revisited for 2011.
Go back to the screen size, because that's kind of my thing. I've got this HTC status here, the Facebook phone. I tried using it. I mean, look, I missed the keyboard, and I keep telling Kevin I want to use the 9900.
Because you're a big Q fan, right?
I was a huge Q fan back in the day before I knew what a 3.5-inch screen looked like, and later when I knew what a 4-inch screen looked like, and now I've got this Samsung Infuse, which is 4.5 inches and just huge and ridiculous.
Is that a tablet? Awesome.
No, it's really not. The thinness makes up.
My phone.
But here's my thing. I want to try a keyboard. I want to try to go back to that usage of a phone again, and I just can't with the screen that's I've tried. I can't. It's impossible. You can't make me do it.
He's getting old.
Derek is
What else do you own, though? That's the thing. Like, it comes down to if you're a one device guy, if you only have one mobile device, then yes, go for a touchscreen that's the biggest touchscreen that gets through a day, and that's probably your best device. However, I got money. I got a playbook, I got a tablet, and I got a phone. So give me the most.
I'm buying my way out of the problem.
Around. Yeah, it's hard to carry them all around in my pocket.
But I don't need them. Pockets. I'm not going to play
Merce, Georgia.
Store, you know?
No, that's fine. But how do you get people back onto something that's smaller like that? How are you going to win back iPhone users or, you know, Android users? Or
RIM doesn't need to win back right now. RIM needs to make enough money to get through the next 6 months to 9 months in order to release some QNX super phones. And then they're back into the game with something where they can keep the best of this and add back in what they're lacking, right?
I'm a huge keyboard fan. Like, I like hard keyboards. Like, I have
I'm
to say,
disappointed
like,
in you.
I'm sorry. I do. I like them. Like, I like
keyboards
them in design
awesome.
Idea. But for my...
Yeah. Well, let me ask Derek something quickly. Derek, was the portrait slider a weakness in Palm's arsenal, having just that one form factor? And do you think the Torch kind of suffers from that as well?
No. No, because it appeals to a certain set of users who want that bigger screen, but still want the physical keyboard, and they don't want a phone that's going to be 9 inches tall.
9 inches
and
tall.
And it may be, it's not necessarily a niche, but it is. There's a large group of users who look at that and say, I want that phone. And then they pick it up and use it and go, oh, that's the phone that I want. The Pre-3, I want that phone so badly. I think the physical keyboard is the thing for me. And I can have that for now.
You're not going to switch to a Torch, though.
No, I'm not. A Torch, please. No offense, Kevin. What's bothering me about the Torches, though, is that they're now the Torch is two different phones.
Right.
With different screen resolutions.
With different screen resolutions, and one doesn't have a keyboard, but the other does. But they're Torches separated by...
10
numbers.
Yeah, 10 digits or something.
10 digits. You tell somebody I have a Storm. Which Storm do you have? The one with the touch screen.
Wait a minute.
Which Storm do you have? Torch, not Storm. That's the confusing part. I can understand why they killed the Storm name because it didn't do so hot. But they should have picked a different name for the touchscreen only phone.
I want to know if Dan laments for the days of Windows Mobile Standard now that all these next generation Blackberries and WebOS devices are out there.
A little bit, but actually, because I'm a huge fan of, the Trio was my phone, right? Especially the Windows Mobile version of the Trio is still one of my top favorite devices. And I still like to go back to them and play around with them every once in a while. But it's true, yeah, we're all on the black slab kind of thing. But the few keyboard devices we have are decent. And the one I'm actually using now, the Dell Venue Pro, gives me that Trio-like feel to it because it has a slide. It's a vertical slider. It has the keyboard coming down, sort of like the Pre does, but we still have that big 800 by 480 screen. In fact, that screen on the Dell Venue Pro is a 4.1-inch screen. It's huge by most standards, and it's a nice AMOLED. So you gain.
Phil's laughing at the size, by the way.
Yeah, right?
You don't want to know what I'm laughing at right now.
But it's actually, it's a heavy phone. It's a thick phone, but everyone I show it to is really impressed by it, too. And it's kind of a shame. We were mentioning this earlier. Kevin was talking about Dell getting out of the business, and it's probably true. And it's a shame because it's actually a really nice design of theirs. And so I'm a big fan of the keyboard. I have 3 Windows phones that have keyboards on them. And so I still prefer using that design over non-keyboard devices.
And Georgia broke my heart by saying the same thing.
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't give – what I was going to say is that though I love to have a physical keyboard, I don't think that I could give up my screen size in order to have it, because I like to actually game when I'm out. I don't have my iPad with me, so yeah, I like to have play games on my phone at the same time. So
bring it all back to Kevin. Which RIM is released? Was it 5? Are going to be releasing 5 new Blackberries? Which one is for which consumer? How are they targeting each of those?
Sure. So your BlackBerry Bold with the touchscreen and the keyboard, that's your traditional BlackBerry. Think heavy communication, the business people, guys like me who just want keyboards. That's that traditional sort of market done premium. The torches are more the consumer line, I guess, full touchscreen experience. That's what they're going after. The sliders for those who want a big touchscreen and a keyboard. That can cross both lines between, I think, consumer and business professional use. And the full touchscreen torch, I actually gave it a fairly harsh review, and a lot of people criticized me because I more so criticized its lack of keyboard, which is a little bit true. But honestly, the traditional BlackBerry OS on a full touchscreen is just, I personally have never been able to get used to it. That goes back to the old Storms, regardless of, say, the usability issues, just taking that OS without a keyboard, it's not good. The playbook built for touchscreen, night and day difference, right? I love it. Love it. But that OS on a phone is hard. But there's people who want it. So it's the people who want BBM, but they just want a nice phone. They don't ever want a keyboard, and they're okay typing on glass only. So it straddles. And then the Curves will come out still, which are just kind of the lower end of everything. So there'll be a low-end Curve with a keyboard and a low-end Curve with a full touchscreen.
So Kevin, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
With the state that RIM's in now, though, do you think that it would have been a better idea for them to, instead of releasing a multitude of phones, to just go with maybe 2 and really, hope that people buy them?
I think RIM is
like one with a keyboard, one without, and that's it.
That's kind of what they're getting to. I think, put it this way, they started working on these phones not like 6 weeks ago, but probably 2.5 years ago. So once they're in motion, you might as well see them through. I think RIM's built enough devices.
I don't think that they're right for that, though, because you still have to go through the production costs. Like, yeah, they spent a lot of money in development and design, and probably a little bit in marketing before the phones actually come out. But at least HP said, listen, this is not going to work. Let's cut our losses.
Let's folio it.
Let's continue as we go. But they could have done that with, 3 of the phones that they're really not sure are going to sell. And then at least people know what phone to buy. Like, that's the one thing that Apple has. With one phone, what phone you're going to buy.
Holy, I have hail coming down that is ridiculously loud right now.
That's hail?
That's hail?
Dude.
Is it hail? Really?
I thought that was the sound of people throwing Blackberries at you.
Officially dented, I think, because those sound massive.
I'm going to move us along just to start wrapping this up. Georgia, what's crazy to me is with the Nokia Microsoft deal, with what HP just did to WebOS, with the Google Motorola thing, Apple is now the calmest, quietest, least newsy company in mobile. How did that happen?
You know what? They're going to have something else like Antenna Gate or White iPhone Gate or some sort of gate that's going to put them back up into the news. But I think Apple's just sitting kind of pretty. They don't have to have any press right now because everything's going well for them. So it's all good. Let all of the other companies kind of fight it out.
Well, so right now, Android is kind of dominating the market share. Apple is still probably, you know, Apple definitely owns the profit share, arguably the mind share. I don't think it's we were saying, Kevin, like a couple of weeks ago, that it's the most interesting time we've ever seen in mobile, and we had no idea what we were talking about then. It's gotten so much more interesting so quickly. Is this it for now, or is it going to get crazier?
It might get a little crazier over the next 6 months to a year. I don't know if it'll be crazy in a good way or crazy in companies going bankrupt or more platforms shutting down kind of way, but it's definitely interesting. But at the same time, it's getting more interesting on the business side, but it's getting a little boring on the phone side because we've now hit a spot where all the phones are good. There's lots of apps. I don't know what I want next in a mobile device, right? And
iPhone 5, Kevin.
Yeah,
perhaps
but
I could interest you in something open source.
No, but the thing is, you know, it's when people are like, even me, I've got iPhone, I got iPad, I'm kind of bored with it, right? It's like open and close, like meh. I don't know where things go next. So it's more interesting on the business side because you have all these business stories and shaking and moving. But I want us to start talking about the future of mobile because we got to push it to the next level now, like we did 4 years ago where we wanted Wi-Fi and GPS and 3G in one phone. Come on, that was the future.
Crazy!
What? I know, exactly.
Cats and dogs living together.
We're going quad core. We need to I don't know. So it's exciting, but it's also stale, and I want to see it be exciting across the board.
That's what the guy from Epic, the CEO of Epic Games, said, that he's not that excited for the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox 720. He thinks that what's in our pockets, the phones, are going to be so powerful that that's going to be the next generation platform.
Amen.
Nice. All right, so on that note, I'm going to go around and just ask everyone where we can find out more about them, starting with our fearless leader, Kevin.
You can find me on crackberry.com and on the Twitters at crackberrykevin.
Nice. And Phil Nickinson, sir?
I am at Android Central, the website, the Twitter, the coloring book. Phil Nickinson on Google Plus, because that's how we roll these days. And are any of you guys using Google Plus,
yes,
actively at this point?
No. I'm not actually actively using it, but I might have
started
free
today.
Time in the future.
Right. Why should I, Phil? Phil, why should I? Convince me why I should try it.
Because it's cool.
Because he gets
That's
a kickback.
Kids are using it.
Are there any women on it yet?
No, no women.
Georgia, are you on Google Plus?
Nope.
See, no women.
Damn it.
Derek Kessler, the best dressed man in mobile. Where can we find out more about you?
I am obviously on PreCentral. You can also find me on Twitter at DKDSGN. I'm debating just changing my name to Sad Panda. You can also find me on Google Plus at Derek Kessler.
Nice. Dan, we still don't have video, but we do know how to find you, right?
Right. You can find me at WPCentral.com and on the Twitters at Malatesta77.
We should have more girls.
We have more. Phil's beautiful wife is joining us just because she feels there's far too much testosterone on this darn podcast.
Yes, she does.
Georgia, where can we find out more about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Georgia Tippy and on the website www.tipb.com.
And your other show?
Zen and Tech. And you can find me www.zenandtech.tv.
Nice. You can find me at Renee Ritchie. You can find me at tippy.com. And you can find all of us at Mobile Nations. We are your one-stop shop for every mobile platform conceivable, even some that may no longer have hardware presences. we are brought to you by the Smartphone Experts Network of Stores. Just go to your favorite smartphone expert site, click the store button, and buy whatever cases, cables, chargers, headsets, and anything else you might need. We come to you once every 2 weeks, www.mobilenations.com. Please head on over to iTunes or the Zune Marketplace or your favorite podcatcher and subscribe to us. The more people subscribe and leave a rating, the more we get featured and the more people we can reach. And we love talking to each and every one of you. Thanks again, everybody. And I'm just going to wait for Kevin to say Kevin out.
Kevin out.
End of line.
So that whole thing was, I'm sitting back here doing a podcast, paying attention actually, and the smell of bacon just wafts into the room.
Oh, you left God. Bacon for this podcast? Have you no sense of priorities?
Is that why you disappeared? It was the bacon that called to you?
No, I had to pee. So I texted my wife. You know, I use Google Voice for text messages, and I text my wife in the bedroom. I'm like, I smell bacon. bring me bacon. Are you making bacon? She's like, I'm eating bacon.
Bacon.
Now Kevin's like, Erica didn't make me any bacon before she left.
Bacon, bacon.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and people in the chat room, we are not replacing FreeCentral.net with Bacon Central. Just stop it.
Dude, I like this idea.
Everyone's talking about bacon phones, bacon cases, bacon clocks.
Derek wants to run Bacon Central. Kevin, put it in the to-do list.
Bacon Central, I like it.
I'm so glad I'm still recording.
Pretty penny.
maybe we can get Google to buy it.
Bacon Central. Android. Is that even open?
Maybe Bacon Central can buy WebOS.
BaconCentral.com. Let's find out.
Well, I think Derek has
now a whole bunch of squatters are going to grab the site.
Is there a thread in FreeCentral.net to put together that Kickstarter fund yet?
I swear to God, it's a Google App site. It's a Google App site. Go there.
I won't be able to see it.
Oh, yeah, it's redirects. Someone just put it.
What a crazy week in mobile.
Oh my God. Tomorrow's Friday.
What's going to happen tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Friday. What's going to happen tomorrow, guys? Who's going to buy what?
I don't know. All I know is this morning I went to bed a little grumpy with HP because of how badly they botched the launches of the Pre 3 and the Touchpad 64 gigabyte. And I woke up this morning planning to write an editorial lambasting them about this. And then my world got flipped, turned upside down.
So what if Microsoft bought RIM now? The double...
Whoa.
The mic there. That becomes the unexpected, it doesn't make sense, but if they did it, holy shit move.
We'll show Google, we'll buy someone even crazier.
But really, that now becomes a three-way game where that could actually go on for like years. You know, like it doesn't have to shake out from there. It would just be like... It would maybe force Apple to release a phone more than once a year.